The Poltergeist in the Room, written and read by Fresney. Fandom Sherlock BBC, Warnings for a Megaverse, part of the Variations on an Equation series. Jim met Sherlock beside a swimming pool, and Herm was a hermaphrodite, a virgin hermaphrodite. Herm had been studied and poked and prodded, but never in the way that dull, normal people were. This was so unexpectedly delicious that he let Sherlock and Herm's little Omega pet live. Jim had never presented. Sherlock had presented with... Actually, Jim wasn't exactly sure how a Herm had a mix of Omega, Alpha, and Beta sense. Because clearly Herm was either reproductive or not. They played a game of planes. They played a game in a valley full of fear. There were missing paintings and elaborate endgames, and Sir Lady Boasts a Lot boasted, and Jim set Sherlock up for a fall. After Sherlock jumped, Herm's heart did stop for 3 seconds. The drug that always appears in a story like this did its work a little too well. Death had enough time to say hello before Sherlock was heading back again. Death looked at Jim.
We should go.
Jim wasn't going anywhere. He wanted to know what came next. Jim could move small objects, cause cats to stare and start. It wasn't being a Napoleon of crime, but it was amusing. He rearranged Sherlock's wee travel sock index constantly. Sherlock came home while Mary was proposing to Joan. Talk about eating Herm's heart out. The moment he saw Mary, Jim did a little undead jig, because of course he knew who Mary was. He was the one who'd set little Mary, quite killer contrary, to point her long-range rifle at Joan. And now they were getting bonded. He laughed and laughed and laughed at the broken-hearted expression on Sherlock's face. It was simply delicious. Jim watched Mary watching Joan look at Sherlock. Jim watched Mary watching Sherlock look at Joan. Jim would have held his breath if he wasn't dead. One day, while Sherlock was folding serviettes for the wedding, and Joan was mooning over Herm, Mary sighed. I can't take this anymore. She reached into her purse. Jim clasped his hands in front of his undead face. Someone was going to be very dead very soon. Hopefully everyone. Mary pulled out a book, which was disappointing, unless the book was poisoned. Jim hoped it was poisoned. Mary said, Joan, you know I love you. Joan flushed and looked at Mary. Of course. Sherlock cast them both an anguished, poor little virgin, confused Herm look. Mary put her book down on the table. The Ethical Slut. Mary cleared her throat. It's fairly clear to me that we're all in a relationship. Sherlock picked up the book. Herm's eyes widened. Joan waved her hands. No, Mary, I've told you, Sherlock and I were just in a strong emotional relationship with strong feelings of attraction. And I'd like to feel I've become close to Sherlock, too, while getting ready for the wedding, rescuing from a burning pyre and so on. If it's fine with both of you, I'd like to add a physical component with you and Sherlock, with all three of us. At the same time. This was not what Jim had expected her to say. Sherlock stopped. Herm was holding the book in Herm's hands and gazing at a point in the middle distance. Mary said to Joan, Is Sherlock all right? Joan had her hand over her heart. Is Sherlock all right? Did you just... Mary kissed her cheek. Yes, dear. She whispered something in Joan's ear, which provoked a fit of coughing. It's true. Think of all that focus. Mary wiggled her eyebrows. Focusing. Mary looked at Sherlock. Joan looked at Sherlock. Sherlock looked at the middle distance. Jim attempted to write something in the sugar. Sherlock whirred to life, bounding down the stairs, swinging on Herm's coat in that ridiculously overly dramatic way. Jim followed, but lost Sherlock somewhere in Regent's Park. Jim kicked around a bit, kicked up some leaves, tormented a stray cat. Was a gusty wind blowing in a young couple's face as the Alpha tried to propose. He killed an afternoon. He went back to find Sherlock had assembled a pile of books and put together a series of graphs. Herm was saying, "It would be for science." Mary looked at Joan. She looked at Sherlock. "Was that a yes?" "I already said yes. Pay attention," said Sherlock, who was unbuttoning Herm's shirt. Mary opened her mouth. She closed her mouth. She said, "We should discuss boundaries." Sherlock took off Herm's trousers and pants in one move. Mary said, "Oh, fuck." She tilted her head to one side. "This really will be for science." "Yeah," said Joan, who was in the process of throwing off her crime against sanity sweater. "We should talk..." "Oh, fuck it," said Mary. "But I'd like to start with illustration 42-A. "Fine, fine," Sherlock strode in the direction of Herm's bedroom. "Hurry up." "Bossy," muttered Mary, while Joan did an eye roll of, "You have no idea." Jim was appalled, but was certain this was going to go horribly, horribly wrong. Jim was certain while Sherlock pushed Herm's alpha cock into Joan from behind, while Joan positioned a cilia stimulator on a belt that twisted inside Mary with each thrust forward and back, and for fuck's sake! Mary was an alpha assassin and should not be making noises like that and yelling, "I believe in science!" and giggling, giggling! Jim wanted to shoot himself in the head again. Jim was certain it was going to go horribly wrong when Sherlock demonstrated Herm's ambidexterity, simultaneously manipulating positively obscene toys in both of them to the rhythm of Bolero. For fuck's sake, dinosaurs were dying on Sherlock's laptop. Dinosaurs. While they were having sex. Jim was certain it was going to go horribly wrong when Mary and Joan demonstrated just how coordinated they were by overstimulating Sherlock's already overclocked brain with all the touch. All of it. 4 hands and 20 gripping, scissoring fingers and 2 lips, and Jim couldn't remember how many teeth, and Jim could not look away. It was a train wreck. All the bodies, and he was a ghost. No body. He left to disrupt Sherlock's sock index. He came back. They were still at it. He tossed bills on the floor, still at it. Tipped over the sugar, still at it. Apparently everyone was capable of multiple orgasms. How lovely for them. They didn't notice. They came out of the bedroom, groped around for some food, ended up groping each other and tumbling back into bed. Jim left. He left. For a day, wandering along the Thames like a sad little ghost. He came back. Joan and Mary went to work. Sherlock lay on the couch looking blissed out. Until he got a case. Called Joan and Mary, and together they solved crime. There was an unfortunate young man who'd murdered a man in a locked room who wasn't dead. There were secret passages and a chase, and Mary shot someone in the leg. She grinned as she did it. She laughed about something red in her ledger. When they got home, they found a new use for serviettes, tying Sherlock up and tying them around Herm's eyes and teasing Herm. It turned out Sherlock enjoyed being tied up. Herm was a bit overcritical of their knots. No surprise, little ethical slut assassin Mary wanted to explore their kinks in a non-judgmental way. Big surprise, Joan could fill several binders with her incredibly detailed kinks. There was the dressing down by a superior officer. There was giving a dressing down. There was getting switched by the headmistress. There was the very detailed paddling Sherlock for leaving dirty, filthy things all over their clean kitchen. There was a Byzantine 19th century scene involving corsets, slit knickers, high tea, and a magic item recently discovered in a tomb that sent everyone into heat. Binders of very elaborate scenes. Sherlock requested Joan or Mary shoot things during sex. The resulting conversation, where Mary insisted that they needed to sit down and negotiate boundaries for safe play, and gunplay with a real gun during sex wasn't safe. And perhaps now is a good time to talk about her previous employment, and Jim wanted to shoot himself. Again. It was that boringly responsible. And everyone agreed on safe words and limits and parameters for what they were and weren't comfortable with. Everyone was so honest. It took hours. They signed a contract. Sherlock and Joan checked in with Mary before fucking in an alley after a case. Mary and Joan enjoyed a long, slow morning cuddle when they could, which Sherlock considered the tortures of the damned, when Joan went out for a drink with some friends. Mary wrapped a serviette around Sherlock's eyes and played a soundtrack of gunfire, all the while keeping up a fairly fascinating commentary. It was insane. It was horrible. After everyone was tested and they confirmed Sherlock's low level of fertility, they negotiated that when Joan went into heat, they'd share it. Mary's supinosis slowly unfolding out of her, cilia shifting as she pinned Sherlock, while Sherlock knotted Joan. And that shouldn't even have worked. It was a train wreck. And inexplicably, Joan and Mary were going ahead with bonding preparations. Mary groused about societal structures that prevented all three of them from bonding, while they investigated an international smuggling ring. Joan was British, and did not want to talk while investigating an international smuggling ring, or any other time. Sherlock researched other cultural norms, and wrote a 100,000-word paper on it. There was the stag night, where Joan and Sherlock went out for a single drink. Where Joan and Sherlock went out for a single drink, came back, screwed like the magic thing was possessing them, went out to solve a case, came back, and were at it again. There was the hen night, where all three of them went to a strip club, solved the case, and got it on in the back. When it came time, Sherlock wrote Mary and Joan a song for their bonding, and Joan and Mary danced, and Jim briefly had a hope, because Sherlock was alone, and Joan and Mary were happy, and Sherlock would always be on the outside. There was an attempted murder. It was bizarre. Not as bizarre as Sherlock's wedding toast. Molly broke up with her alpha friend and shagged Lestrade in the loo. Hilarious. Miss Hudson drunkenly regaled everyone at her table with stories of her days as an exotic dancer and seduced Molly's ex. Also hilarious. Then there was the moment in the middle of the celebration where Sherlock realized Joan was pregnant. At the same moment that Mary realized Sherlock was pregnant, which had them pausing and looking at each other as if they were carp. Jim yelled, "Death!" Because seriously, there was only so much Jim could take. He wasn't there a few days later when Sherlock ran the EMF meter and said, "Jim's finally left." "Oh, thank God," said Joan. "For it really was a crowd in the bedroom," said Mary. Also, the sugar and the salt was getting old. Sherlock tidied up a pipette, given the lecture Joan had given Herm about leaving experiments out. Figure 42C to celebrate? Joan looked at Mary. "I've got nothing on." Technically, what then occurred was figures 42A, B, and C. But no one complained. The end.